Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. We're going to read just a few verses. I started a few weeks ago a new series on Wednesday night on the topic of wisdom. Last week, we started part one of a, hopefully, just a two-part thing, and I'll review. I know there's many of you that weren't here last week. We've got some visitors here. I'll catch you up. You won't be behind. It'll take me about 5 or 6 minutes to review, and then we'll jump into the new material here. But Proverbs chapter 16, let's start reading in verse 20. You follow along. He that handleth the matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. The wise in heart shall be called prudent. The sweetness of his lips increaseth. Understanding is a wellspring of life to him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. Now, we started last Wednesday night a topic called characteristics of wise people. Characteristics of wise people. I think I have 9 or 10 different things that we'll be covering total here, and I'm going to review, there's 9. We're going to review the first 4 from last week, but let me go all the way back. There we go, Brother Brett. My fault. Operator error on that one. Wisdom is defined many different ways. Probably the best definition of wisdom is this: the ability to see life through God's eyes. Being able to see things from God's perspective. Now, can I tell you something? The hardest things about the Christian life come because we're looking through our eyes and not God's. When you start looking at life through God's eyes and from His perspective, versus through your eyes and your perspective, you quit saying, "What's wrong with? How come we can't?" And you start seeing it from God's perspective. See, there were things as a young person I did not see. There were things when I was a kid I thought, if I ever become a dad, I will never say that to my kids. I hadn't had my kids hatched more than a couple years, and I was calling my mom and my dad saying, "I'm sorry." I started seeing things a whole lot different. Man, there was times things would come out of my mouth, and I thought, "Whew, I heard my father say that, and I hated it when I heard it, and I can't believe I said it." You say, why? Because it was a different perspective. When I hunt, very rarely do I hunt deer on the ground. You say, why? I have a better perspective when I'm 12, 15, 18 feet in the air in a tree stand. I have a different perspective, and I have the ability to see farther, and I can see down through the woods at a whole lot better than you can if you're just down on the ground. And wisdom is much the same. It's being able to view life from God's perspective. You take any or all areas of the Christian life you struggle with, and I'll promise you, you're looking at it through your eyes and not God's. You look at it through God's. Why do I have to read the Bible? If you saw it from God's point of view, you'd know why. Why do we have to pray? If you saw it from God's point of view, you would pray. Why do we have to dress a certain way or cut our hair a certain way? Because if you saw it from God's point of view, it would mean a whole lot different to you than looking at it from your point of view. Now, I'm done preaching that, but let me give you the first 4 points of the outline, and then we're going to jump right in here. First of all, we said a wise person loves the one who corrects them. Do you know wise people don't get upset with people that correct them? You know, the wise student doesn't argue with the teacher. The wise child doesn't argue with the parent. The wise employee does not argue with the boss. Everybody doing okay? Anybody out there? Okay, we're not Methodists, okay? I might be cleaning your plow, but just don't let everybody know, amen? A wise person realizes that correction is a good thing, not necessarily a bad thing. Right. I used to tell people, my dad told me, one day I got in trouble at work or something or other, and he said, "Did you get fired?" I said, "No." He said, you're lucky." He said, "Your boss thinks you got more in you than you're given. You better give it a little bit more." Whew. Say, what is that? Wisdom. He never took the boss aside. I can't tell you one time my dad ever took my side. He always took the teacher's side. Whether he agreed with the teacher or not, I'll never know. Say why? Because if I got in trouble at school, I was getting in trouble because he'd say, if you didn't do it, there's things you did do that you didn't get caught for, so you deserve it now. Man, that's not fair. By the way, how many times have you gotten in trouble, thought it wasn't your fault, but if you really looked at it from a leader's point of view, you can see why you got in trouble?
Yeah.
You may not have, but you were so close to it that what's the difference? I better go on. Next. A wise person is a learner. Wise people keep learning. Wise people keep learning. Proverbs chapter 9, verse number 9. A wise person searches for truth. And by the way, they not only search for truth, they search for truth so that they can use truth. It's not just a bunch of knowledge. That little lady over there, Mrs. Hartline, her definition of studying and taking a test was revolutionary to me. Say, what is it? You take information in and puke it back out on a piece of paper. Is that not word for word what I was taught? Amen? And 30-some years later, I still remember it. But may I say this, if all you do is get facts, you didn't learn much. You can know every tool in the toolbox, but if you don't know how to use them, what good is it?
Yes,
sir. Okay, how many tools you know, do you know how to use them and when to use them and at what time to use them? The screwdriver is not to be used as a hammer. Except in extreme emergencies. It's not supposed to be used as a chisel. You say, how do you know that? Because I learned using my dad's. That's not what they're for. Now, wait a minute. A wise person is a learner, not just to absorb information, but so that they can absorb truth to help other people with it and to help their own life. Number three, a wise person seeks to be well advised. We talked about a wise person will seek counsel. By the way, the Bible says that in a multitude of counselors, there wanteth not sin. That does not mean you go from counselor to counselor to counselor to counselor, asking them the same question to find somebody that agrees with you. That means you have a cabinet of counselors. There are people here. Okay, if I had an electrical question, I'm not going to ask Donnie. He's not an electrician. But I got three or four electricians in here. I'd ask your advice. But at the same time, if it came to Walmart, amen, Donnie, I'm not going to ask Brother Gus's perspective. I'm going to ask Donnie because Donnie works at Walmart. Say why? That's called the wisdom of counselors right there. Knowing who to go to in what situation. Does that all make sense to you? And that's what a wise person learns. Number four, and this is the last point I gave you last week. A wise person has a good attitude and lives a happy life. Do you know you don't find many wise people that are grumpy? Wise people have a good attitude. They've got a good spirit. You say, why? They make good decisions. Good decisions leads to less depression. It leads to less problems. Less problems leads to better happiness and joy. Wise people, because they make fewer bad decisions, the people around them aren't always stressed out because of all the bad decisions you made. And wise people generally have a good spirit, good attitude, and build that around them. Now, pick up with new material here, Proverbs chapter 16, and I must hurry. Number five, a wise person speaks right and does right even when it may hurt them. A wise person speaks right and does right even when it may hurt them. Oh, my soul, my soul. Look at me, if you will, for just a moment. A wise person obeys and tells the truth, whether it's going to help them or hurt them. Do you know you grow up when you can admit you made a mistake? When you keep defending yourself in your wrong, it's time to grow up.
Yes.
Do you know that it does not hurt to say, I blew it. It's my fault. I was wrong. I failed. Nobody died of a heart attack. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? So many of us want to defend the wrong we do. A wise person says, that didn't work. We better not try that one again. No one is above the rule. Oh, my soul. As a principal, I've been principal in two different schools. I've been assistant vice president in a college. I've been administrator in another college, taught at two different colleges. Can I tell you something? And some of you have heard me say this. Cass, you've heard me say this 100 times. I don't care what your last name is. I don't care what your last name is. You're going to get treated the same. It does not matter. You say, why? Justice doesn't have a last name attached to it. Justice doesn't have a parent's or your position attached to it. Justice is justice. Nobody is to live above the rule. Everybody doing okay? By the way, God teaches the higher up you go in life, the more you should live by the rules, not be exempt from the rules. So many times people reach a level of success and they feel like they don't have to keep the rules anymore. Case in point, go to D.C. They want everybody else to follow the rules, but they don't want to follow the rules. God says that's not wisdom. Wise people follow the same rules. By the way, a wise person doesn't criticize those with whom they disagree. They just keep doing right. Yeah, you don't have to criticize somebody you disagree with. Just keep doing right. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 23, we read it a little while ago. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. Watch this. Teacheth his mouth, addeth learning. What does that mean? A wise person thinks before they open their trap. Don't be guilty of having the Apostle Peter disease and open mouth and engage it before you engage your brain. You know, a wise person thinks about how somebody is going to receive what they say before they say it. Hey, when you disagree with your wife, sir, before you blurt out what you're about to say, why don't you think how she's going to receive it? Everybody doing all right? Amen. Man, it's awful quiet in here. I think we got a coon in the tree, amen? All right, here we go. Folks, if we would learn to think of everybody else's reactions before we said it. Now, there are times you must say what you need to say, whether you're going to hurt them or not. But at the same time, you need to be cautious. Bad news comes my direction a lot. I got word yesterday of someone who miscarried, needed to tell someone in their family about it. I got word yesterday, my son's fiance, her grandfather passed away unexpectedly yesterday. You know, there are certain things you can say, but you got to say them carefully so that you don't hurt people. You have to think through by thinking, how are they going to receive this? How must I do this so that I don't make it any harder on them than it already is? Folks, and I'm not the wisest person in the world. I know that, but may I say this? Wisdom says you think about people's feelings and how they're going to receive it. Now, as a parent, you know, I've got three children. None of the three are the same. Thank God. All three of them are different. Can I tell you something? I can tell one of my children one way, but if I told one or two of the others the same way, I'd devastate them. Yep. Say why? I've got to think how they're going to receive it. Everybody doing okay? All right, so a wise person, by the way, a wise person will tell the truth even if it's going to hurt them. Can I tell you something? Lying will hurt you worse than telling the truth that is negative towards you. Yes, sir. Oh, my soul, quit lying to yourself and quit lying to everybody else. Just tell the truth. You make life a whole lot easier. All right, number six, and I got to move on here. A wise person does not talk too much. Take your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 10. We're going to look at two verses. Proverbs chapter 10, look at verse number 19. The Bible says, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Look at Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 18. Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 18. There is that speaketh like the piercing of the sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Now, look at me. I want you to, and just look back at me, if you will. You know that many people talk so much that they talk themselves into sin?
Yes, sir.
I watch people talk, and they talk, and they talk, and they talk. They run out of things to talk about, but they still want to talk, and then they start talking about things they should not talk about.
Yes, sir.
Help. By the way, that's one of the dangers of social networking. You communicate and talk, though you're not using your lips. You're using your fingers and your mind doing the same thing. And there's so many things on social networking that nobody else needs to know what's out there. Why in the world do people that you haven't seen in 75 years need to know what you're doing right now? I'm sorry. I'm not saying it's sinful. But if more people would put their face in this book and stay off Facebook, we would have a lot better issues in America than we have right now. There 99% of the things on Facebook should not even be there. If you have time to tell everybody what you're doing, you're not busy. Folks, I'm so busy, I don't have time to tell everybody what I'm doing. I don't even know how much I got to get done. Being on the phone too much. We talk and 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 talk. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. You need to learn to choose your conversations. When the conversation's over, it's over. I got to meet with Mrs. Cummins while we were back in Ohio, and their pastor said, now Brother Bush, she'll talk to you about this long to this long. When she's done, she'll say, okay, I know you're busy, you know you got to get going, so here we go. I respect that. That's a lady that doesn't want to go too far, and she knows where to cut it off. That's a lady that knows her boundaries and the general public's boundaries, and let's cut it off and get going. I respect that. You know, I don't listen to gossip. I don't listen to people criticize other people. I won't listen to it. I don't care if you're a preacher. I don't care if you're one of my church members. I'm not going to let you gossip and rattle your gums about somebody that you shouldn't rattle your gums about. Say, what would you do? I'd tell you to shut up, or if I'm talking to you on the phone and if you won't be quiet, there's a little red button. You push it, and I don't hear you anymore. Say, you'd hang up on me that quick. Say, why? Because I'm not listening to it. Okay? By the way, be careful of late-night conversations and late-night communication.
Yes, sir.
The later you go with communication, the more opportunity for sin there is.
Yes, sir. That's good.
Parents, I still don't understand why teenagers have telephones, but if they have one, you better know what's going on. And you better pull the plug on the phone and the stupid computer about 10 o'clock, because anything past that, they don't need to be communicating anyway unless it's with you.
Yes.
Boy, that went real good, didn't it? Wise people understand God gave you two eyes and two ears and one mouth. You're supposed to listen and watch four times as much as you talk. Most people talk four times as much as they listen or watch. Number seven, and we're going on. You ready? Number seven, a wise person has a healthy and holy fear of sin and evil. Turn to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 16. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. Ooh. You know, and I'm here in the next couple weeks going to be preaching on this a little bit, but may I say something? Every person under the sound of my voice, including the guy making the noise right now, is a sinner. There is nobody that is above sin. Nobody. And I'm not afraid to say it. Two of my three kids are gone, got one more gone in a year. Let me say this. It doesn't matter, as we add staff members, guess what? Their children are going to sin.
Yes, sir.
Just get ready for it. By the way, before you criticize them, yours are too.
Yes, sir.
I won't care what their last name is. They'll get treated the same. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's Brother Smith's children or my children. They're going to get treated the same.
Amen.
Say why? None of us are above sin. There's not a preacher in the world that is above going, we call it going into sin. They don't go into sin. You're already a sinner. If you're looking for a perfect pastor, go somewhere else, because you're not going to find him here. Obviously. Amen. Doesn't handle survival knives real well. You know, None of us are above sin, but let me make this statement. All of us can be above evil. You can't be above evil happening to you, but you can be above becoming part of evil. Evil, the word evil and sin are not the same word. Sin is a breaking of a law, a crossing of a line, something that's a little out of whack. Evil is a conspiracy, one or more people going together to destroy someone else. You may not be able to control trespassing, crossing a line. You get a little too far one way or the other. Okay, we're all going to do that. But you don't have to go together and Brother Matt and I decide that we're going to attack Brother Logue because he's uglier than Brother Smith. And we're going to... He's fat too? Is that what you said? All right. Give it another couple of years. We'll find out what you say. All right? But evil is when two people go together to slander, to hurt, to criticize, and to tear down somebody else's name. You may not be able to control and always stay out of sin. You can stay out of evil. You don't have to participate in evil. Boy, that's a good statement. We need to run from sin as much as we can, but you must stay away from evil. I say it this way. The farther you set your standards away from evil, the better off you are. If this edge of the platform right here is evil, if I only take one step away, if I stumble and fall, guess what? I'm in evil. I might be able to take another step, but I could still end up in evil pretty quick. I don't know about you. I want to stay here. The farther away from evil I stay, the better chances I have. Even if I stumble, I'm still a good ways away. I could stumble a couple times. I'm still safe. I'm getting in the danger zone. See, we may get criticized from time to time. Can I tell you why? Because we believe in living over here and staying as far away from that as we can. There's nothing wrong with it. Okay, you may choose to live right on the border. But when you fall, not if, when you will fall into evil. I preach to our young people to stay as far away from that trash as we can and stay over here. I may not get them all the way over here, but I'm going to get them a whole lot farther than I say if you just walk that border right there. Everybody doing okay?
Yes.
Stay away from the evil. Our separation, our standards are there to keep us farther and farther and farther and farther away from evil. Now, wise people see that sin and evil cause death, hurt, destruction, and grief, and they avoid it at all costs. Young people, look at me for a second. Boys and girls, look at me. I know what happens when boys and girls and teenagers disobey moms and dads. I watch how they ruin their lives. You've never had to sit across the desk from a mama or a daddy and tell them their young person's pregnant and she's not married. She hadn't even graduated from high school yet. I've sat there and told them that. I've had to sit there and tell parents that their college-age young person has messed their life up. They're running from God and running from mom and dad. I know the pain that goes with that. If you sat where I sit, you'd understand why we say what we say. Quit looking at it through your eyes and look at it through God's eyes. You know, pardon me, this is not real kind, but we're stupid. We get our advice from somebody that's been no farther down the road than we are. Why not get your advice from somebody that's been around the block a while?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, I'm going to go talk to my friend. Your friend doesn't know any more about it than you do.
Right.
Why don't you go talk to your mom or your dad?
Yes.
Why don't you go talk to the man of God? See what he says.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that. I know what he would say. Yeah, that's why you're going to go do wrong.
Right.
Okay, I better get moving here. By the way, let me just say this and I'll go to the next point. Wise people don't have close relationships and friendships with evil people. I have friends that have chosen to go into evil. Though they are still my friend, I spend zero time with them. None. I won't do it. Till they remove themselves from the evil, I will not fellowship with them. I'll be kind to them. I will be friendly to them. But I am not going to spend time with them. You say, why? They'll pull me down. Why do I want to associate with people that associate with evil? That's too close to the border to me. I'm going to avoid it. You say, well, that's rude. I might be rude. I apologize if I'm rude. But may I say this? I don't plan on going to evil. Number 8. A wise person uses his influence to scatter wicked away. Turn to Proverbs chapter 20. A wise person uses his influence to scatter wicked. Proverbs chapter 20, look at verse number 26. A wise king scattereth the wicked and bringeth the weal over them. Wow. A wise king scattereth the wicked. Mrs. Hartline, I'm going to tell on you. I've used this for all these years, but I heard her say it this week. She was talking to one of her staff and said, you've got that hairy eyeball, just give it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That teacher look? You say, what is that? That's called scattering away evil with your eyes. A wise person knows how to do that. Parents, do your kids know when you mean business by the look in your eye? Or do they just keep pushing you? There's a little word I've used. You church members, you've heard me say it, but my kids know this word. Yeah. My son was volunteer, kind of part-time youth director this summer, 22 years old. A bunch of teenagers were with him. I went, yeah. I watched him do this. He's still listening, amen. I thought, he got it. He knows what that means. There's times I've sat on platforms and my wife was dealing with little ones in church. Now, there's nothing like sitting on a platform at First Baptist Hammond with Brother Hiles. There's 7,000 people in the auditorium and it's your kid making noise in the church service. And I'd look on the platform and I'd go. And if they caught my eye, they knew what that meant. Let me ask you a question. A wise person stands so strong that evil and sin does not want to be around them. What are you doing in situations to where people are asking you to do wrong so much anyway?
Yes,
sir. I'm 46 years old. You know, people don't walk up and ask me if I want to smoke. They don't walk up and ask me if I want to do drugs. They don't walk up and ask me if I want to drink alcohol. They don't walk up and try to tempt me. We were with the young people last night. I took them to a meal over at Ryan's. Say, why Ryan's over Golden Corral? Because I couldn't get in Golden Corral. So we went to Ryan's. I knew nobody would be there. Amen. I was up with a plate getting some food, and a guy walked over and said, hey, where's your church? I never met the man before that I know of in my life. I reached in my pocket, handed him a tract, told him where we were. I asked him where he went to church. He told me church of a totally different denomination and stripe. I still don't know how he knew who I was. But people don't walk up and ask me to do bad things. Can I tell you why? I've made it so clear I'm not going to. They stay away. You know, if you're constantly in a group of people that are asking you to do wrong, change groups of people.
Yes, right.
Make your stands strong enough. You know, I'm not afraid to say it. Churches need to quit holding hands with the wrong crowd. Oh, we got to fight this in our church and we got to fight that in our church. I'm not fighting it. We're just staying away from it. I don't worry about, well, this organization's changing, so we're going to have to watch it a while. Don't have it. Have the Word of God. That's what you need for your Sunday school program.
Amen.
I'm not going to hold, you know, why do we fight wrong music in our church? Because we hang around wrong music.
Yes.
Why do we fight poor dress in our church? Because we hang around poor dress. Why do we hang around wrong methods in church? Because we hang around people that have wrong methods.
Yes, sir.
Everybody doing all right? I hate to tell you, I'm going to say it again, you won't find one conference in that book, and I've hosted a lot of conferences. I'm not against them. I never even saw two churches in that book that ever got along doing anything.
Right.
Say why? They're Baptist. They're not going to get along. They're going to fight sometime. There's only two things they enjoy, fighting and food.
Yeah.
Folks, when are we going to have a conference? We're not. Get over it. We're here to build a church, not build a conference.
Right.
We're here to reach people in this area, and we'll reach more people that way. Boy, that's good stuff. Amen, Brother Bush. All right. By the way, wise people set up principles by which to live, and they live by them. Listen to this statement. That's why socialists, that's why communists, and that's why liberals hate Christianity.
Yes, sir.
They hate Christianity because it is a law of absolutes. Now listen to me. Do your homework. Do your research. The Communist Manifesto says, point number one, there are no absolutes. Eliminate all absolutes. By the way, that's why there's an attack on that book right there, the old King James Bible.
Yes, sir. Right.
They want to write all the different perversions and all the other, well, it's easier to understand. And they want to call me shallow. They got to have an easier Bible. No, they want a Bible that has no absolutes. This book and Christianity and the Word of God is final authority. That's it. They hate Christianity because it is a law of absolutes. Boy, that's good stuff.
Yes,
by the way, if you study your Bible, God says, if you love me, keep my commandments, keep my rules. Rules are freedom and love.
Yes, sir.
The absence of rules is not love. The presence of rules is love. The absence of rules is not freedom. The presence of rules are freedom. Young people, rules, 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 rules. I'm tired of all these rules. Feel like I'm in prison. No, people in prison are the people that didn't keep the rules. There's freedom outside the prison. If you'd keep the rules, you'd find out how free you really are. Boy, that's good stuff. Number nine, and I'm done. Number nine, wise people hold themselves accountable. Wise people hold themselves accountable. Turn to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. We're going to look at verses 24 through 28. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 24 through 28. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are people, not strong. Yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but feeble folk, yet they make their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet they go forth all of them by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in the king's palace. And I'm going to stop there. Notice, none of these have, quote unquote, a leader, but they all hold themselves accountable. And God says they are exceeding wise. Do you realize that wise people don't need leaders forcing them to produce? Boys and girls, teenagers, you'll become a wise student when mom and dad don't have to force you to get your schoolwork done.
Yep.
You do it because it's the right thing to do.
Amen.
Hold yourself accountable. Mamas and daddies, when your boss doesn't have to force you to go to work and force you to do your work, you're going to be a better employee.
Yep. Yes,
sir. I remember I asked my dad one day, I said, Dad, how do you know when you're old enough to get married? I was at college. Maybe one of the most profound things I've heard my dad say, and there are many. He said, Son, when you can provide for somebody else what's been given to you, you're ready. He said, when you have to quit relying on everybody else and you can provide it for somebody else, then you're ready. Boy, that puts a whole different perspective on it.
Yes, sir.
Wise people don't need somebody constantly inspecting them.
Yep.
Let me say it this way. I was an assistant pastor for about 23 years of my life. You know, my bosses, if you called any pastor I ever worked for, one, you'll have a hard time getting a hold of because he's in heaven. But if you talk to any of my bosses that I worked for, they'll tell you they didn't have to wonder if I was at work. Guess what? Nobody makes me come to work still. You don't know what time I get here. Now, I know what time I get here. Most of the time, it's by 6 o'clock in the morning. Who's your boss? My boss sees everything I do. It's God. Wise people don't need somebody to inspect everything they do. By the way, and they don't hurry it up just to get it done. Wise people do it right and do it right the first time. Can I tell you something? If you'll learn to do it right and do it right the first time, it'll take less work than hurrying through it and doing it 4, 5, 6 times. Boy, let me say this. Wise people accept the negative that comes their way as well. You know, you have to learn how to take the negative. Not everything you do in life is right. You say, but I don't like it. Nobody said you had to like it, but you got to learn how to take it. You know, wise people take the blame. They don't share it. My secretary thinks in the nursery tonight. Do you know if my secretary makes a mistake, you'll probably never know it. It'll be my fault. I'll take the blame. Say why? Because I'm her boss. I'm supposed to. And I might say, you know, maybe next time we ought to do this. Oh, and she'll, oh, and she's so good. She'll, oh, Brother Bush, I'm so sorry. You know what? We learned that didn't work. Okay, mark it down. Let's not do that again. Doesn't bother me. I can take it. Why is it that we're so worried about who gets the blame? When in doubt, blame Brother Smith. All right. By the way, wise people follow, let their principles guide them, not their emotions. Be careful making decisions when you're emotional. When you're ticked off at something, it's not time to express your opinion. Let's put it down where you live. When you're mad at that guy driving on the other side of you, yelling and screaming is not going to do anything except make everybody in your car upset, because that guy can't hear you anyway and he doesn't give a rip.
Yes.
We make decisions when we're upset. We make decisions when we're hurting. I've watched people go out and buy a brand new car, and I mean go spend $25,000, $30,000, $35,000, $40,000 when they lost their job because they were depressed. Now that makes a whole lot of sense, doesn't it? You just lost your job. Now I'm going to go buy a brand new car to make myself feel better. That's real smart. You know, and by the way, it could rain tomorrow. That doesn't mean you don't go to work. Well, I don't feel like going. Nobody feels like going. Now, some of you work some construction-type issues, and you might not be able to go because of one thing or the other. You know, Brother Gus laying electric line out in the middle of the rain in the trenches might not be the wisest thing in the world. Let Brother Smith do it instead. But, but you know, there's just times. But just because the weather's bad doesn't mean that you don't do what you're supposed to do. Folks, we make so many decisions based on our emotions. Wise people don't do that. You know, be careful when you're tired making big decisions. Yeah, my wife the other day, I don't know, I left the house before 6 this morning. I haven't been home yet. I know it wasn't today. Maybe it was one of these days in the last 6 months. But recently she said, I don't know how your mind is right now, but I need to ask you some questions. I knew what that meant. I said, nope, good. What you got? We had some things at the house to deal with. She said, well, I got this. Okay, we made decisions on that. She said, well, got this one. She said, I just wanted to make sure, because there's a lot going on. I said, nope, good time. Here we go. She knows when those tougher things need asked. Sometimes I can't do it right then. If it's been a pretty rough day, I might say, can you give me a couple hours? I got to get my mind in gear for this thing. I don't want to make a bad decision based on the fact that I had a bad day.
Yes, that's good.
How about you? You know, wise people. Let me just review real quick. A wise person loves the one who corrects them. A wise person is a learner. A wise person seeks to be well advised. A wise person has a good attitude and lives a happy life. A wise person speaks right and does right even when it may hurt them. A wise person does not talk too much. A wise person has a healthy and holy fear of sin and evil. A wise person uses his influence to scatter wicked. And wise people hold themselves accountable. Let's decide to be wise people. By the way, let's decide who wise people are so we can be around those kind of people. Some of you may not be wise yet. That's okay. At least you know what kind of people to be around. If they don't fall into these categories, I wouldn't spend a whole lot of time with them. Let's do what we can to be wise people for God. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. I realize I've taught very quickly and an awful lot of material tonight. But America is starved for wisdom. Our country is starved for people to see things God's way and not their own way. And by the way, Christianity is starved for it. Christianity needs to quit looking at the Bible through their eyes and start looking at it through God's eyes.